Oh, thank you. Well, okay, it is a workshop kind of situation. We played a few for you, and we are here to answer your questions, hopefully about music and mandolin. Like I say, we exist to serve. In the words of Jorma Kalkinen. Yes, sir, way in the back there. Tips on playing in B flat.
Don't do it.
Tell the banjo player to move down one fret and play it in A. Well, a tip on playing in B flat, this can relate to other flat keys. Say you're playing with a horn player that has no respect for string music. You find yourself in B flat, E flat, and the dreaded A flat. Yeah, you don't want to go there. Well, basically, first thing you got to do, the very first thing is learn your scales in every key. And this will, and especially if you're just starting out, you want to think about, and one of the great things that scales is also good for is if you're learning mandolin or really flat picking guitar, anything you use a flat pick up and down with, that one of the first things you got to get going is how to make your pick make your upstroke as loud as your downstroke. And once you do it a while, it becomes automatic. But when you're first starting out, it kind of can be a challenge to make your upstroke make the same volume as your down. So the first thing you got to do, you're in B flat. What does that tell you? You go up one fret on your A string. And another great thing about playing, learning B flat or some other things, is that as a mandolin player, I can, with fiddle, you find yourself using all four fingers all the time. Sometimes with mandolin, it's easier to get lazier because it's physically just harder to make your little finger pull off and do as much strenuous things. So the first thing you can do right off the bat to help yourself in B flat is work with your good old major scale. And as you do that, you can start with all downstrokes, of course. But you also want, then you can learn to make your flat pick go up and down, and you're exercising both hands. Okay, and then once you learn that very scale, and the great thing about the mandolin is there's more than one spot to do these notes. Or the curse of the mandolin is there's more than one spot to do these notes. Okay, now go up to the good old Bill Monroe position. This very chord. Once you learn that, it's all over. You want to play bluegrass. It's the same one as your G chord. Using your fourth finger on the seventh fret. And when you're in G, right? So you move it up three frets. By the way, this is your, we're not reading music sort of instruction. So now when you get up in this G, which is now up to a B flat, you'll find that a lot of great bluegrass solos on the mandolin were played out of this position. But if you went down in the first position of G, okay, but now you go back to B flat. Let's go to the more challenging thing, shall we? Okay. And the great thing about this one, as I told you earlier, in B flat, you're gonna need to use your little finger in that scale. Right? So now move it up to this chord position one. Start on your third string with your third finger. You got to use your little finger right off the bat. That's all just a scale. But what that'll teach you to do, and then it'll teach you to just It's all within the major scale and within that chord position. So that's one trick to playing in B flat. And really, the other is to talk the guys in the band into playing into A. The key I love. Why? Because I have open strings. Yes, sir. Okay, the question was, could you demonstrate the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch? And when did you come up with that? Well, it's all a variation, and what we're talking about is a rhythm chop. And really, for me, the rhythm chop, and one of the reasons I love to play the mandolin, is that I get to be a rhythm player. And for me, and every other mandolin player, the mandolin is your backbeat in the band, although there are great banjo choppers. There's Jerry Douglas can do a chop on the dobro that's equal to any mandolin player. And Paul Warren on the fiddle with Flat and Scruggs made an incredible rhythm chop when he used to play rhythm. So, I mean, but it all kind of comes from Bill Munro hitting, if you're just playing this rhythm here. And somewhere along the line, and it was probably in the 60s, I guess, when I first started hearing Bill Munro. That backbeat. So that's why it's kind of like a snare drum in the band while the other people are soloing or singing. And I often wondered if the rhythm chop got started because Bill Monroe's action just got so high he couldn't hold the strings down anymore. Don't know, just a thought. And but it was interesting because I was recording with Peter Rowan back in the 80s, and he did a Bill Monroe record, and I was chopping on every song, and Peter would come up to me and go, you know what? This particular song, Bill wasn't chopping yet. And I didn't realize that. But yeah, some of them were from the 50s, and he hadn't really got his chop going. But, I mean, it's as simple as this. When you're trying to make your rhythm chop, and the reason I'm starting with Monroe's is to get on into that, that if you're not chopping rhythm, then it just sounds like this. Guitar style rhythm. But the way I like to chop rhythm and the way I seem to interpret Bill Monroe's and John Duffy's and Bob Osborne's is that you're kind of sort of releasing the chord as you hit it with your flat pick. So if I'm gonna go into the chop. So I'm kind of releasing it sort of as I hit it with the pick. I could wait a little later. And that sounds like I'm speeding up. But and a chop is kind of a personal thing because I mean you'd hear if you listen to Tim O'Brien or me or David Grisman, Chris Thiele, Adam Steffi, I mean all these great players, you'll find we all do it a little differently. And it's really kind of a personal preference. I've sort of learned to like the one that is more percussive, where I just kind of smack it. And over the years, you know, developed different kinds of chops. And when I first heard Bob Marley and the Wailers, what got me was that the rhythm guitar, which was being played by Bob, sounded like bluegrass mandolin chopping in my distorted view of music, the way I hear it. Yikes. And so I started studying this Bob Marley rhythm, and that was what attracted me to reggae music, that it did sound like the way Bill Monroe chopped his mandolin in an odd way. And I rediscovered that Bob would really make the chop of a 1, 2, 3, 4. And I got to play with the Wailers earlier in the summer. And it also occurred to me that only white guys do this. The Wailers just do this. So somewhere, They distorted Bob's rhythm. But now you're talking. Now, so that gets us into this where I've learned to, you know, I learned a different out of just a closed chord like Bill Monroe. And it was through listening to Bob Marley. This is nothing he does. It's just something I kind of started doing. And as a frustrated drummer in high school, I could never play a whole drum kit, but I was in the marching band. And so I learned certain snare drum rudiments and things you do. And it's kind of like I started applying them to figuring out how can I apply that to rhythm chopping. And really what... On this kind of chopping, I'm literally deadening the strings with the side of my little finger, maybe some of this one. And it's the same kind of thing I was talking about when you release it. Well, in this case, I'm deadening it with an open strings. And I'm also... So that one's maybe even a little more of a sharp attack where I'm actually deadening it with the side of the fingers. Actually, I think studying snare drumming in high school in the marching band helped me think about the subdivision of beats. Whereas, like, instead of just going, okay, let's go more. And then one more. But I'm keeping a constant motion going with the right hand. It's just ways to subdivide the beat to try to keep the hand motion going. You want it better than that?
Why did you choose
to play the ukulele? I'll be kind. The question was from a very nice young man. Why did you choose to play the ukulele? Why did you choose to play the mandolin? Well, because Arthur Godfrey already had the ukulele market cornered, and. But why I chose the mandolin? Well, I was fortunate to grow up in a house where music was encouraged. You always hear about people that their parents, you know, didn't want you to play music, get a real job, all this. Well, I grew up on a farm, and my parents wanted me to have a real job. And they wanted me to play music, or if that's what I chose. They encouraged me to play music, I should say. And so we had a mandolin and a fiddle in the house, and used to listen to records by... well-known around the Grand Ole Opry circles fiddler named Tommy Jackson. And a lot of people could argue that Tommy started certain trends in country music fiddling, as well as he made his own square dance records. And on these records would be this great mandolin player. And I just love this. It's hard to explain because the sound of the mandolin appealed to me. Just like when I've talked to Jerry Douglas about Dobro, why when he first heard Uncle Josh with Flatt & Scruggs, why that's the sound. And so when I first heard the mandolin on the Tommy Jackson records, it attracted me more than the boat instrument actually did, even though I play both. And then I discovered Bill Monroe after that. And then one night, listening to the Grand Ole Opry with my dad, Bill Monroe played John Henry, the steel-driving man, and I thought that was one of the most incredible things I ever heard. And I remember my dad saying, "That ain't nothing. You need to hear Jethro Burns." So... My dad was not a Bill Monroe fan. I am. And
why was there a mandolin in your house?
Why was there a mandolin in our house?
That's a good question.
Wow. I guess we couldn't afford a guitar. I'm not... I really don't know. I can't sing John Henry like Bill Monroe, but I'll play it.